Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Anyone watching commodities this year? Well, you know, we have to talk silver. It's just been on an absolute tear through 2025. I mean, surging past all expectations, making massive headlines.
Yeah, it really has.
And this isn't just, you know, a momentary blip. It feels like a real fundamental shift in the physical market. Okay, let's unpack this. Our goal today is to figure out why. Sources are pointing towards this complex interplay, right? Structural supply deficits, huge industrial demand, and these crazy logistical challenges. We want to cut through the noise, get to the basics of silver's new reality.
And I think that reality starts with silver's unique dual nature, doesn't it? For investors, yeah, it's often seen as a safe haven, maybe follows gold.
Traditionally, yes.
But for industry,
yeah,
it's absolutely critical. You said it, almost 60%, nearly 60% of silver consumed in 2025 goes into industrial uses.
Wow, 60%.
So this deep dive, it's really about what happens when that industrial engine and, you know, the investment side both fire up at exactly the same time.
That's the core conflict, isn't it? So our job here is to give you a clear, fact-based look, connecting these big global trends, especially this huge green energy push, with what's actually happening on the ground, the stress in the physical market.
Okay.
So let's start there with that industrial engine. Where's all this demand coming from? Why is it picking up speed so, so fast?
Well, the acceleration is pretty staggering, really, because silver is just indispensable for so many of these future-facing technologies.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking solar PV, obviously, is the big one.
Right.
But also electric vehicles, advanced electronics, you know, 5G infrastructure, even complex medical devices.
Right.
Basically, if a technology needs top-tier electrical and thermal conductivity, it needs silver.
And, okay, demand's strong across the board, but it really feels like solar is the one just warping the whole picture.
It absolutely is. Solar PV demand for silver, it's growing consistently over 12% annually right now.
12% year on year. That's huge.
It is.
Yeah.
And to really get a sense of the scale, just look at China. They're the powerhouse for solar manufacturing.
Mm.
In 2024 alone, they expanded their solar capacity by something like 45%.
45%.
In 1 year.
Yeah. That single year's expansion, it drove a massive, really measurable chunk of total global silver consumption.
That's such a critical point. Because, you know, you hear about the other side, too, the efficiency gains. Manufacturers are always trying to use less silver per solar cell, right?
Yeah.
They're getting better at it.
They are, definitely. And that's important, that thrifting. But, you know, when the whole industry is expanding by double digits, 45%, like in China's case,
yeah,
those efficiency savings, they just get completely swamped by the sheer volume of new installations globally. The overall demand curve just keeps climbing regardless.
Okay, so massive industrial pull. But before we jump to supply, we have to touch on how investment demand makes this worse. It's not just industry needing silver to build things. Investors are also soaking up supply.
That's absolutely right. If you look at the global silver-backed ETPs, those exchange-traded products.
You have vault funds. Exactly. In the first half of 2025, they saw net inflows of around 95 million ounces. Now, this is really crucial for listeners to understand. ETPs let you invest in silver without handling bars, sure, but they still need real physical silver locked away in a vault somewhere to back those shares.
So those 95 million ounces, they're now sitting in a vault, secured. They're not available for a manufacturer who needs them, you know, next Tuesday for circuit boards or solar panels.
Precisely. It directly shrinks what the industry calls the mobile silver supply. The stuff that's actually available for, you know, real world use.
It's like a double whammy then. Pressure from industry, pressure from investors, both pulling on the same limited pool.
Exactly.
Okay, so if industrial demand is this powerful engine and investment is adding fuel, where's the breakdown? Let's pivot to supply, because this is where the structural problems really seem to be hitting the market hard. Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, this is key, because the problem isn't really a lack of wanting to mine more silver with prices high. It's more fundamental. It's a failure of the structure of silver mining itself.
That's a really important distinction. The biggest structural issue, as our sources highlight, is that silver is mostly a byproduct. Think about this. Only around 30% of the world's silver comes from primary silver mines.
Mm.
Mines actually focused on silver.
Right, which means the other 70%, the vast majority, it's just recovered alongside other metals when miners are primarily going after gold or copper or lead or zinc.
And that has huge consequences, doesn't it? Like, if silver prices jump 50%, a dedicated silver mine, okay, maybe they try to boost production.
Maybe, yeah, if they can.
But the huge copper mine, where silver is just, you know, a small bonus, they're only going to increase output if copper prices make sense. The silver price surge is almost irrelevant to their main business decision.
Exactly right. That production structure. Mm-hmm. It severely limits how quickly global supply can actually respond just to high silver prices. It's not linear at all.
Yeah.
And you see the result in the deficit numbers.
Let's talk about that deficit, because it really puts this price surge into context. The market's been in a structural deficit every single year since 2021. This isn't just a blip, it's systemic. Supply just hasn't kept up with demand year after year.
And that shortfall, cumulatively, is now getting close to 800 million ounces.
Wow.
Just to put that in perspective, total annual global mine production, it's somewhere around maybe 850 million ounces currently.
So we've basically burned through almost an entire year's worth of global mine supply over the last few years because of these persistent deficits.
That's the scale of it, yeah. It's a huge hole in available inventory that you just can't fill quickly.
And on top of that structural byproduct issue, you've got all the usual mining headaches, right? Chronic underinvestment in finding and developing new mines that takes years, a decade sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Long lead times.
Declining ore grades in existing mines, meaning you have to dig up and process more rock at higher cost just to get the same amount of silver out. Plus, tougher environmental rules. It's like a perfect storm holding back new supply.
It really is. What's fascinating here is how this fundamental imbalance, these structural supply issues, crashing against massive demand, how it actually shows up in the day-to-day market mechanics. You can almost, well, you can see the strain in the market data.
You're talking about things like backwardation, right? That's a bit technical, but it's a really critical distress signal people should know about. How can we simplify that?
Okay, so backwardation. Basically, it happens when the spot price, the price for getting silver delivered right now is higher than the futures price for delivery, say, 3 or 6 months down the road.
Oh, okay.
Think of it like a sudden local gas shortage. Yeah. You might be willing to pay an extra dollar per gallon today just to fill your tank immediately because you're worried you might not find gas tomorrow at any price.
Got it. So the fact we're seeing persistent backwardation in silver, that tells you there's an acute physical shortage. Buyers desperately need the metal now and are paying a premium for that immediate access.
Exactly. And that pain, it shows up in other ways too, like the cost to borrow physical silver, the lease rates. They've surged, especially in London, which is a major physical hub.
What does that surge mean?
It basically reflects a queue.
Hmm.
A line of industrial buyers, maybe investors too, all scrambling, fighting for access to the limited physical bars available to borrow.
It probably also widens the bid-ask spreads too, I imagine. Makes trading more expensive.
Definitely. When market makers get nervous about whether they can actually find the physical metal to deliver, if someone buys from them, they charge a bigger risk premium. It makes the market jittery, more costly to transact.
And then there are the pure logistics you mentioned earlier. Silver bars, they're heavy, bulky.
Yeah, not easy to move around quickly or cheaply.
And this combination of strong demand in specific places, plus tight inventories in vaults, especially London, you mentioned it's led to something unusual.
Well, sources are indicating a significant uptick in using expensive air freight to move silver between major hubs, like between New York and London.
Air freight for silver bars. That sounds incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
Like the financial market version of overnighting a critical factory part on a private jet.
Pretty much. The cost is huge. But the fact that someone is willing to pay that premium for speed tells you everything about how critical and how short physical supply must be for certain users right now.
Let's just quickly circle back to that paper versus physical link, those ETPs locking up supply.
Right. It's crucial to remember it's often a zero-sum game at the margin. Every single ounce bought by an investor and allocated to back an ETP share in a vault, that's literally an ounce that cannot be bought by a solar manufacturer or an EV company that needs it for production.
It's a direct tug of war between the investment world and the industrial world, fighting over the same shrinking pile of physical bars.
Precisely.
Okay, moving on slightly. We should also recognize these shortages, this tightness. It isn't perfectly uniform across the globe, right? Regional demand plays a big role.
Oh, absolutely. Take India, huge silver consumer, one of the world's largest. And their demand is very seasonal spikes around festivals, wedding seasons.
Right.
That seasonal buying. It drives up local premiums inside India. And it often literally pulls metal away from global hubs like London or New York to satisfy that specific regional demand, can divert supply streams.
And tying back to the main demand engine, China, their relentless industrial growth, particularly in solar.
Yeah, that 45% installation growth we talked about.
That underpins this sort of baseline level of global consumption that just isn't going away. It kind of locks in this scarcity dynamic for the foreseeable future, doesn't it?
It really does. If we connect this to the bigger picture, given the structural deficit, given the demand driven by green energy, it strongly suggests this volatility, this price pressure, isn't just a temporary thing. It's likely to continue. So the key question for listeners is, okay, beyond the headline price, what are the specific signals you should track?
Right, we've laid out the concepts. Now let's give people the key indicators to watch. You need to monitor the physical market's health, not just futures prices.
Exactly. First, I'd say watch those lease rates, the cost to borrow silver. High rates mean high stress.
Okay, lease rates, number one.
Second, look for that persistent backwardation in the spot versus futures spread. If spot stays stubbornly above futures, the market is screaming immediate scarcity.
Got it. Backwardation. What else?
Third, keep an eye on physical inventory levels in the major approved vaults, like COMEX and LBMA vaults. Are they drawing down consistently?
Inventory levels. Okay.
And finally, track those ETF flows we mentioned. Continued strong inflows mean more physical metals being taken off the table, essentially.
So lease rates, backwardation, inventory levels, and ETF inflows. Those are the kind of real-time gauges of the physical market's pulse.
Those are the key ones, yeah.
So what does this all mean? At the end of the day, this big silver price surge in 2025, it looks like it's fundamentally a repricing. The market is finally acknowledging silver's absolutely critical role, especially in this new green economy. It reflects those deep structural imbalances we talked about, the chronic supply deficits hitting that wall of relentless tech-driven demand growth.
Yeah, and that central conflict we discussed. It's not going away easily. Manufacturers, yes, they're getting smarter using less silver per unit.
The thrifting, yeah.
But the overall scale of growth in solar, in EVs, it's just so explosive that total silver demand keeps climbing anyway, year after year.
Which leads us to the final thought.
Right, so here's the provocative question maybe for you to think about. How quickly can substitution technologies finding other materials, or perhaps more realistically in the near term, how quickly can recycling efforts really scale up and become economically viable? Because until they do, this structural supply deficit could genuinely start to impact the pace of the global green energy transition itself. Silver is essential for it, and the scarcity seems very real and very structural.
That's a fascinating and slightly worrying thought to end on, connecting the dots between commodity markets and our big climate goals. Okay, remember everyone, this deep dive, it's purely for information to help you engage in informed research. It's definitely not investment advice.
Please do your own homework.
Absolutely. Do your own due diligence. Keep an eye on those key indicators we mentioned. And thank you for diving deep with us today. We'll catch you next time.